Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron, from South Bend to Arrowhead. From football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program. Tim Grunhard is presented by CBD American Shaman. Do you know what the benefits of CBD are? Stop in at one of the 40-plus CBD American Shaman locations and see how CBD can bring balance to your body and mind. CBDAmericanShaman.com.
Hour number two does begin with our buddy Tim Grunhard. Football Insider is Grunny. He joins us here on a Tuesday. Grunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of lonely in here. Curtis isn't here. You're not here. It's just Jed and I just kind of sitting here in a dark room here at the station.
It's kind of a Jed's dark favorite pastime.
We'll sit back here, maybe have a smoke at the break, and relax a little bit, put our feet up. But it's a little dark and dreary as we go into the holiday season, really holiday week. I want to say I'm thankful for this show, thankful for you guys. Seren, you and I have been doing this for many, many years. I'm thankful for having the opportunity to come on and talk with you and talk to Kansas City, and you have such a great following of people that listen to your show, and they run across those people all the time, and they are very, very kind to give us some compliments, and they love to listen to the show. So, hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and very, very thankful to have an opportunity to come and talk to Kansas City, because I always tell people, Seren, that my job is kind of doing a little bit of radio, football, then radio, and then football, and then radio again, is to, if you can watch the football game and understand it a little bit more, and if it gives you just a little bit more of a level of kind of understanding and enjoyment watching the game, then I've done my job. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to do that.
Well, and trust me, it goes right back at you, man. We're thankful for having you come on and give us such great insights into the game, such life experience in the game at every possible level.
Every possible level, for sure.
Every possible level and every possible angle it can be viewed at. So absolutely, and all the best to you and your family, Tim, for Thanksgiving as well. So thank you. It's always great talking football with you, and we always love it. It's a fun, easy hour for us. That's for sure, because we know we're always going to have a good time, and we're always going to learn something. There's so many things that you've said over the years. You know, I don't know how many times I've quoted your reps. Most important thing are reps, mm-hmm. right? And some of that great wisdom you've given us over the years. So trust me, I can say that I'm a better football fan for having known you and having done these segments with you, and I'm sure that echoes out to the people that listen as well. Did you happen to listen to what we were discussing in the first hour?
I did, and I agree with you guys. I think there's maybe two other quarterbacks I think you guys named it that could go on this team and do the kind of things that Patrick Mahomes is doing. But Patrick Mahomes is special. He's got that Michael Jordan quality and even a little bit of Joe Montana quality. And, you know, from my experience, one thing I always like to share with people is kind of my experience of the game and how I felt when a guy like Joe Montana would walk into the huddle, because I can imagine that that's kind of how these guys feel with Patrick Mahomes walking in the huddle. When you have a guy that walks in the huddle that has the ultimate confidence and knows that what he can do and how he can do it and how he's going to get it done and believes that he can do it and is very, very competitive, and it kind of rubs off on you, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than having the best walk in. And I've told you the story many times about the game up on Monday night when we were playing against the Broncos and John Elway. And, you know, we're all nervous. We've never really won up in Denver. And it was one of the bigger games in my career up to that point. And, you know, and gosh, everything was kind of going against us at that point. You know, we, a little bit before that, we fumbled the ball, kind of to salt the game away. And, you know, and John Elway so many times has beat us over the years in the last couple minutes of a game, kind of like what Patrick Mahomes is doing to people now. And we were kind of on the losing end of that. And Joe Montana walked in and just had the ultimate confidence, says, "Hey, guys, listen, this is what I do. We're going to get this done. We're going to go win this game. Let's go." And we believe that. And I think that, you know, the guys in that huddle, the guys in that team, and there were some comments I saw after the game that, hey, there was no doubt in their minds that Patrick Mahomes is going to walk into that huddle and win the game. And to be really honest with you, maybe we're a little bit naive here, or maybe looking at this team and looking at Patrick Mahomes through the rose-colored glasses, but I had no doubt that Patrick Mahomes was going to go and win that game. Now, there's going to be times when Patrick Mahomes doesn't go and win those games. Man, I'll tell you what, it just feels
or
like...
Is it better to say, I'm almost to the point where I would say there's going to be times when the guys around him let him down and don't allow him to.
That is exactly right. You're right. He is such a competitive guy. Listen, and I know that, you know, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you a prime example. I mean, I haven't been around Patrick Mahomes that much, but I've met him and I've seen him, and we played golf at the same place, and he's just such a competitive guy. And everything he does, I can imagine if he's playing checkers with his brother, if he doesn't win that checkers game, then he's very upset, and he's going to find a way to win that game. Whatever he does, he wants to win. And just some of the things that he does on the golf course he's not the most talented golfer in the world. You guys saw it. I probably watched it when he was doing the Tahoe deal. He's not the most talented golfer, but he just finds ways to get things done. And I've seen him hit it on the green and two and par fives with, you know, unbelievable 240-yard shots and just like within 5 or 6 feet of the hole and you know, making these unbelievable crazy shots, just being creative and doing it because he just trusts himself. He believes in himself. Whatever he does, he really and truly believes that he can do it and he can get it done. And I think your mind controls your body so many times that your mind, if you really believe that you can do something, you can get it done. And that's the way Patrick Mahomes is when he walks on the field, and that's the way it is with these guys. And I don't think you want to be the guy right now to let him down. And everybody talks about the touchdown play, which was a great play. But that third down conversion that he was getting blitzed and backing up and backpedaling and dropped the ball over the top to Robinson, who, by the way, had one of the worst football games I've seen a wide receiver in Kansas City have in a long, long time. For him to make that play and for him to find a guy like that and have confidence in a guy like that and make that play, that was the difference in the whole series. That was as soon as he converted that, I said, that's over. They're going to find a way to win this game, and they did.
Yep, they did. Listen, I like the comparisons to Joe Montana. I think they're spot on, and I think one of the stories I've heard was that Stefan Wisniewski told the story. I think it was Wisniewski, maybe at the Super Bowl, that when he first got to Kansas City, there was a game that they were trailing, and they come into the huddle, and Eric Fisher turns to him. It was like one of his first games here, and Eric Fisher turns to him and goes, "Watch this." Maybe it was an end of a half. It was an end of a half, and he goes, and there's like a minute or 50 seconds or something, and, yeah, they've got one timeout or no timeouts, and Eric Fisher turns to him right before, as Mahomes is like jogging out onto the field after talking to coach, and Fisher just turns and looks at him and goes, "Watch this."
I mean, how cool
like
is that?
I mean, and that reminded me of you talking about what it was like in the huddle when Joe Montana was jogging out there.
Yeah.
Right? You all knew, here it comes. We're going to get this done. And there's that same kind of confidence in the huddle for the Chiefs when they get the ball. Nobody in Kansas City thought we were going to lose that football game when they left a minute 43 and a timeout on the clock for Patrick Mahomes.
When I was coaching at Kansas, and I hate to throw Kansas under the bus because I had a lot of great experiences there, and I really love the school.
You really don't mind.
But I will tell you this. One time I was sitting and talking with Charlie Weiss, and, you know, listen, everybody could rip on Charlie, but, you know, whatever. So I'm just going to tell you my story. You take it the way you want to take it. So I'm sitting there, and I'm talking with Charlie Weiss, and he says, okay, what do we really need to work on this team? What are some of the things that we really need to get done? I said, Charlie, these guys don't believe they can win. They wait for bad things to happen to them. And when something bad happens, they say, uh-oh, here we go again. And that's a mindset. And it's just the way it's been, and it's the way it is. And until something good happens, until something spectacular happens, and it changes that mental thought or it changes that culture that's there, it's not going to change. Well, it's the same thing on the other side. When you have a guy that's coming in and you know you're going to win, and the dirty little secret of it is the Raiders knew they were going to lose. They knew they were going to lose. There's no doubt. Now, they were hoping that they were going to win. I'm sure they walked on the field with the idea that they were going to win. But they, in the back of their mind, knew Patrick Mahomes is coming out. We gave him too much time. Oh, my God, here we go again. And it happened. It happened. And I promise you, I've been there, man. I've been there when watching John Elway. Now, I wasn't on the field. But I was there when there was times when, okay, we were up by maybe four or up by six or whatever it was, and we're feeling pretty good, and all of a sudden John Elway saunters out there with that little limp that he had and kind of walking, little sideways walk that he had, and gets into the huddle, and we're like, oh, my God, here it goes again. And guess what happened? It did. So there is a mindset out there, both on both sides of it, where – you know, if you believe that bad things are going to happen, when they do happen, all hell breaks loose. And when you believe good things happen, now listen, you still have to do those good things, and you have to convert, and you have to do all the things you need to do and give yourself an opportunity to win. But once those things start to happen, it snowballs one way or the other. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes in that huddle, as soon as he completed that third down conversion, the Raiders knew the game was over. And I knew the game was over. You knew the game was over. The game was over. I mean, there was no idea.
I thought it was over when the Raiders put it in, when they did.
you know what?
And you're, like, no you're, way. They're not going to get this done. Like, that's too much time for Mahomes.
And you know what? And people are thinking, well, you know, if you don't live in Kansas City or you live under a rock, and maybe you're just watching the game, you're thinking, okay, well, this guy's pretty good. Maybe he can get him in field goal range. That was the last thing on the mind of Patrick Mahomes and the last thing in the mind of that team. They were going to go down and score. A normal team with a normal quarterback would have been happy to go into overtime in that situation and get themselves in a position to kick a 40-yard field goal. They'd have that stupid little line they have on the field. And once they get past that little line, I know it's not on the field, but when you're watching TV, now they're past the field goal, you know, where you can kick the field goals from line, and they're going to be okay, and they're going to slow it down. They're going to run a couple. They're going to kick a field goal and tie it up. Not this team. Now, I did have a cold chill going down my spine watching this defense this week, but
wait a minute. I don't want to leave Mahomes yet.
No, I don't either. But Patrick Mahomes is the heating blanket that you put over your body when you're cold and you think that you can't do it anymore. You have Patrick Mahomes who brings that heat, brings that energy, brings that juice, brings that enthusiasm, brings that winning attitude, and you can't pay for that. That is an intangible you just can't pay for. You could spend $500 million, but it is worth every penny to have a guy like that on your team.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you mentioned, like, hey, getting to the field goal and all that. He said in postgame that, and I'm sorry, Curtis has been under the weather, so I would go grab it, but I don't see it on the sheet because the K-Dog has been out, so much love to Curtis. He said, well, it's kind of like a checklist. First one is get down and get into field goal range. Okay, we're there. Second one is kind of like, I don't know if he said, get into really good field goal range. And then third one is go score. He said, yeah, you're always wanting to get the touchdown. He said, but along the way, you got to make sure that you don't blow these things. And so he's so good that he's got, you know, all the things that have got to go on in a quarterback's mind just to execute one play. But then he's also doing the game management part of the equation in his head as well. It's just phenomenal what he's getting done in those situations. And, you know, I you know, to go back to the point I made where I said, listen, I think he almost always will. He'll make a mistake somewhere, right? It just will happen. But for the most part, the only way they don't win is one of two things. One, somebody else screws it up. That was Cam Irving against the Rams, who couldn't block anybody that night. And he got hit as he was delivering the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he just didn't have enough time in that one. But the interception he ended up throwing to Marcus Peters was basically a fair catch punt because he was hit as he was delivering the ball. And two other turnovers that he had in the game were because he was hit, right? They were fumbles that he was hit on. And so if somebody else doesn't do their job, yes, Patrick Mahomes can be beat, right? So that's why it's important to keep good talent around him. Make sure, even if you got to be bad defensively some years, then be bad. But make sure you got protection and make sure you got weapons for him, and he'll shoot it out with people. And so some years you might have to shoot it out. Some years the defense might be good, and you don't have to shoot it out. You can play ball control and four-minute offense and kill off games up 10 late. But if you have to, and this is where I would have walked on Chris Jones, if we watch him start taking hits and they're not able to solidify that offensive line or they're not able to give him multiple weapons and we watch the offense get ground down because – they spent a bunch of money on defense, it's ultimately going to be a mistake. And that's one of the reasons, to your point about the defense, why they have to perform, because they've got four really expensive guys that defense. And there's no excuse to have two $20 million defensive linemen, a $12 million middle linebacker, and what next year will become a $20 million safety. You can't suck on that side of the ball and have that much investment over there.
Yeah, you can't. And then let's also give some credit where credit is due to, you know, guys. Well, listen, Tyreek Hill has been great this year. But Travis Kelce, I mean, the way that those two communicate, not only on the field but off the field, I could just imagine those two kind of sitting around. And I know they play golf together. I know they're buddies. I know they hang out together. But they're on the same page. And to be able to have a quarterback who rolls out is very, very quickly and off balance to your left and able to throw the ball back to his right to a tight end that is working his way back and puts himself in a position where you get a conversion where there really should be no conversion at all. That should have been, I don't know if you remember the play, but
yes,
it was, those are the little things that you just can't teach that's so special about and I think that Patrick Mahomes has that special relationship with Travis Kelce. I think he has that special relationship with Tyreek Hill. I don't think he trusts any other tight end. I don't think he trusts Robinson. I'm not sure if he trusts Sammy Watkins because he's always hurt. But when Sammy Watkins is in there, they have some sort of relationship, but it's not as consistent. But and I think he's starting to get a good feel for what Hilaire can and can't do. But that guy is a general on the field, and his soldiers and the guys that are playing for him do not want to let him down. And just to watch the hustle and the effort that they give to give Patrick Mahomes an opportunity to have some sort of outlet and when he gets himself in duress is unbelievable. Now, one of the things that I said, getting to where we're talking about defense, and I know you were popping around here a little bit, and I know you want to talk about defense. One of the things I said about defense a couple weeks ago, and I had to eat my words right now because it was as bad as I've seen in a long time. A couple weeks ago, I came on this show, and I told you I watched the all 22, and I watched both sideline and end zone of our defense because I wanted to see what they were doing. And all I saw was hustle. All I saw was guys really trying to rally around the ball. All I saw were guys who were really putting in a lot in order to execute the defense. I saw none of that in this game. None of it. Guys were standing around. Guys were missing
tackles.
Was it
guys, or let's start at one spot. Was it Chris Jones? Because
Chris Jones played very, very poorly. I thought he flinched with a stupid penalty. I know it didn't mean much, but he was just showing that he was frustrated and that he was out of sorts for some reason. I saw it with Clark. You know, Clark was he makes it look good, but all he's doing is running fast up the field. I mean, how about a second move trying to get back inside?
I agree. I am not seeing a second move.
Nothing.
Right,
nothing. None of them. You know, they're okay against the run when Pinnell is in there and Derek Nottie's in there. But Hudson kicked the crap out of those two guys, too. That offensive line, either they're really, really good or they intimidate the hell out of the defensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs. But there's been times when I've seen now of late where Spags is dialing up blitzes to get pressure on the quarterback because he feels like he has to, which he shouldn't, because you should be able to get pressure with the front four with the guys, the money they're paying those guys, and they're not getting there. And it's going to hurt us when it's all said and done. If you can't get there in blitz situations, at least get the quarterback off his spot or put him in some sort of duress and you're blitzing, you're going to get beat. And if you didn't have Patrick Mahomes, just like you guys said, if we didn't have Patrick Mahomes, we would have lost that Charger game. If we didn't have Patrick Mahomes, we certainly would have lost that Raider game. And we'd be talking about how poor the defense played. And now people have been saying, yeah, the defense hasn't been playing good, blah, blah, blah. But it kind of gets glossed over a little bit because we're all just so excited about what Patrick Mahomes did. But really and truly, when it comes down to it, there's going to be some games. Now, the defense was able to step up last year in the playoffs and do some really good things. And I think they have it in them. But for one reason or another, now listen, I have never seen, and I made a phone call to somebody to see if I could find out what he said, but I have never seen Andy Reid as upset. He went over to that defensive bench and he reamed him. He got all over that defense, and that's not Andy Reid. Andy Reid is not a screamer. Andy Reid does not lose composure. Andy Reid was not happy with something going on with that defense, and I think it was lack of effort and it was loafs. I don't think there was a lot of effort on that defense. I think they were out of sorts. And maybe it's what the Raiders do to them. Maybe they're intimidated by the Raiders. Maybe they're intimidated by Gruden and Carr. I don't know, but it was not a good thing for that defense in that game. That was about as poor as I've seen that defense play. And missed tackles, there was many, many missed tackles just in open space. Waller looked like he was a superhero out there bouncing. People were bouncing off of him left and right. So this defense needs to tighten it up. And Andy Reid and Spagnuolo need to have a come to Jesus with this defense, or else we're going to be really disappointed somewhere down the line here in this season. I don't care if we have Patrick Mahomes or not.
We'll take a break here with Tim Grunhard, Football Insider, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. We will go deeper. We'll find out what Tim thinks about the little blow-up on the sideline between Chris Jones and some of the DBs. We'll do that next. You're listening to the program here on the home of the National Football League, Sports Radio, 810 WHB.
The program with Soren Petro.
Saying the truth, this guy's starting to get on my nerves.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Jazz end of the hour question. I asked, Jared Goff completed 39 passes last night on Monday Night Football, tying Tom Brady for the second most all time. Who has the most?
Elvis Gerbach.
No.
No? Damn.
That was good. I like laughing, though, so that was good.
Yeah, I do what I can. Who was it?
It was Ken Anderson, longtime Bengal in 1982.
It's always 40. A Bengal. It's always a Bengal.
Is it really? Always a Bengal?
Yeah, it seems like it.
How many did he complete? 40?
Yeah, he had 40 in a game in 1982. That's a lot of completions. Great food from Jazz, or if you knew. Tim didn't know how to use the cough button either.
Yeah, no, sorry about that.
No. He didn't get that lesson. He was back.
I'm used to
taught that lesson.
I'm used to sitting. I'm not used to sitting in the captain's chair. I couldn't find the exact cough button because nobody's here.
You're all right. It's okay, man. It's all right. We'll listen to your phlegm. Not a problem. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. JazzKitchen.com. If you want to check out the whole menu, maybe put it in order for tonight, go there right now. In Independence, I-70 and 291, the original 39th and State Line, and, of course, out at the Legends. That is where you will find all the wonderful Cajun food, from the po' boys to the voodoo pasta to the seafood. It's all at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We're talking to Tim Grunhard here in the program, Football Insider, with us. Tim, how big a deal is it Chris Jones and the defensive backs popping off?
Well, it's not good. It's not a good kind of way to carry yourself on the sideline, but it happens in a game. I think it needs to be addressed because, you know, listen, you don't want to start pointing fingers. You know, I've been on teams like that too, where, you know, the running backs point the finger at the offensive line points the fingers at the wide receivers, and you know, on the defensive side, you know, whatever, defensive linemen, you know, upset with the defensive backs, and just that's just not a good way to kind of go about it. Now, in the heat of a game, it happens, but it's just not a good look. It just shows a little bit of the frustration I think that this defensive line has. And listen, they're paying a lot of money for these guys to get to the quarterback, and they're just not getting to the quarterback. I think that Clark has, what, 4 sacks this year, which I think it ranks like 39th or 40th or something like that in the league in sacks. And I think Jones has, what, 5.5 sacks or something.
Which is the same as Jamal Adams, safety, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Yeah, and so, I mean, and you listen to some of the verbiage coming out of the Chiefs. Spagnuolo said, listen, we absolutely have to find a way to affect the quarterback. We have to keep bringing pressure. We got to find a way to get some sacks. And the defensive line coach is talking about, well, you know, we are not getting sacks, but we're affecting the pass a little bit. But the reality is they have to find a way to sack the quarterback. They have to find a way to do it with four. In order for this team, they should have no issues with bringing four and getting pressure with the talent that they have.
I don't want to belabor the point on Chris Jones. I don't think it's a big deal if it doesn't happen again. If it starts becoming a recurring theme, then you've got division over on that side of the ball. And listen, if you're playing really good football as a corner making league minimum and a couple of guys making $20 million are never getting there and they start barking at you, and because I'm going to tell you, if I were Charvarius Ward and Chris Jones in that game wanted to start popping off, once, hey, I'm going to be the leader, come on guys, you're not getting it done back there, I'd be like, you know, not only are we covering guys, but he's having to send blitzes, we're having to do your job as well, jackass.
Yes. Well, and then the other thing is, which is even worse, people are always going to make comments. I don't care if it's me or you or whoever it is on Twitter. But if you start answering people back and giving people, some kind of credence for some of the idiotic tweets that are out there, so Chris Jones is fighting with people on Twitter. I mean, just, forget about it. So you could tell there was some major frustration going on. And, you got to just step away. And understand that, hey, listen, your job is to sack the quarterback. Your job, you're getting paid for it to be to affect the quarterback and get the quarterback off his spot. And don't worry about all that other stuff. And right now, it looks like they're worried about all that other stuff. And I think it's starting to get to them a little bit. So I think Andy Reid needs to kind of bring the defense and bring these guys in a little bit and kind of find a way to, because they're going to be challenged again this week. It's a hot and cold team. If Tampa has a lot of talent, man. They have a lot of talent, especially at that wide receiver position. And when Tom Brady is on, now he wasn't on last week. I mean, I think he completed one pass over 15 yards, and it looked ugly. It was like 1 out of 10, and everything else was.
Yeah,
like five.
Do you know what quarterback has attempted the most passes of 20 yards or more in the NFL?
Guess Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady. I mean, that's not his game. Mm-hmm. I do find it every time the Bucs lose, it's like, oh, my God, is Brady?
No.
They're 7-4. No, not you. I'm just saying on a national level. They're 7-4, and he's got 25 touchdowns and 8 or 9 interceptions.
And they have a lot
he's got as many INTs as he had all of last year. Well, he's got 20. Yeah, he's probably got as many touchdowns as well. And so, yes, he's going to throw more picks, but he's going to throw more touchdowns, and they're playing a different style of football. And listen, I'm a guy that's felt like Tom Brady was done the last couple of years, and he is much more alive than I gave him credit for. I'll freely admit that I had him dead and buried too soon. But now I'm kind of amazed at how, it seems like people are caught. It's what I don't want to do. It's why I want to admit that I had the guy completely buried too soon. But people get caught up rooting for their predictions. They said he was buried, so every bad game, see, I'm right. Never mind that he might have 12 good ones and 4 bad ones and, be in the NFC Championship game, but people are going to be like, if he has a bad game in the NFC Championship game, they're going to announce, I told you, he's done. Well, not really. And I'm with you, Tim. I think he still can be dangerous, particularly for a defense that's kind of licking its wounds and starting to question themselves. The defense right now looks like the exact opposite of last year. Last year, they struggled, went through injuries, learned the scheme, but then they started playing with real confidence coming down the stretch. They played with confidence to start and even dealt with a couple of injuries here and there, but they're not a confident bunch right now.
And if you look at that game yesterday, Tom Brady was going to struggle. That offensive line got their butts kicked. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line just got destroyed. And Aaron Donald is a superstar. The guy is a superstar. He is one of the best defensive linemen I've ever seen. But I don't think our defensive line is too far off of that defensive line. I think,
Chris
Jones wants to be Aaron Donald. He wants to be paid like Aaron Donald. He's got to play like Aaron Donald. You know, Mike Brockers is good, but, you know, you got Clark. You know.
Let me ask you this, Tim. Is Chris Jones one of those guys that's great to have when it's all going good?
Man, I hate to say yes, because I'm not.
But follow up when it ain't going good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he tries to do something extraordinary, and the defensive line, Saran, when you try to do things that aren't what you're supposed to do. You know, you're responsible for certain things you've got to do. If you don't do it, it's going to screw everything up. And at times I think he does those things and screws everything up because he's trying to do too much. Prime example, he's trying to jump off sides on a third down in one situation. Why? I mean, you know.
How do you jump off sides twice that close to the ball in one drive?
Yeah, I mean, you're guessing. Drive. You're trying to make a spectacular play when you know you can't do it unless you.
When you know the other guy, when mm-hmm. you know that I'm trying to blank, 61.
Yeah, Rodney Hudson.
Rodney Hudson is just better than you.
Yeah.
That's I'm with you exactly. That was a scared defensive lineman. Not scared like, oh, my God, he's going to pummel me or I'm going to lose my job. No, that was a guy who no longer believed he could beat the guy across from him.
Absolutely. So he had to try to do something, you know, extraordinary. And that, I don't want to say illegal or cheating because guys are always jumping. I mean, he tried to do something extraordinary or tried to gain an advantage when he just could not do it one-on-one in the midst of a play during that game. He could not do it. I don't see that happening in Aaron Donald. I very rarely see Aaron Donald being handled by anybody. But I do think that this defensive line has the talent. I disagree with you. I think that this defensive line has the talent. But to your point, it is a front-running defense. But you know what? That's okay for this team usually because this team usually puts
usually
up a ton of points.
No, I agree. And Mahomes can bail him out. But yeah. Here's my point. Chris Jones has got some Billy Butler in him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow, okay. Where'd that come from? You were thinking about that one for a while.
Well, there's more I'd like to say. but I'm trying to paint the picture without just flat out. Like, Chris Jones, like, being the media darling doesn't always endear you to being to your teammates. Can you confirm that?
Yeah.
Okay, that, like, Chris Jones is the media darling. When it's an open locker room, you know, last year he didn't want to talk much because he was sulking most of the year about his contract. He was complaining about the fans at one point. But when he wants to turn it on, he's a charming guy. He's a funny guy. He has fun. He says some things that are kind of off the wall. That I know for a fact that doesn't always hasn't always. You confirm that, yes, there are guys that annoys teammates in the locker room with, but, like, you know, he's not Aaron Donald, and, you know, he kind of gets kind of maybe too caught up in the comedic and the antics and even just the pumping the crowd up and waving your arms when you make a play, dancing all around, and meanwhile there's guys on the defensive side of the ball that are like, we've just given up 48 yards on three carries because you hot dogged it, and now you get a sack for a 2-yard loss after 8 seconds, and you're gonna hippity hop around like this, dude.
Yeah, and you know what?
Chill.
And listen, I don't think guys particularly get upset with people that will talk to the media and be available to the media and have a good personality, but.
They get upset when guys aren't doing all their job.
But to your point, just talking about the media aspect of it, it's the guys that after the losses that don't go dive into the locker and hide. Those are that's what used to drive me and a lot of other guys crazy. Is there's a lot of guys that when you win, they were out there talking to everybody, slapping everybody on the back, and, you know, finding the cameras and finding the lights and talking to everybody, and it was all great. But you go through a 2 or 3 game losing streak, and those guys were diving in the equipment room and showering back in the back room, so they didn't have to go by the media, and they were hiding from them. I'm like, hey, where are those guys now? Those are the guys that aggravate you. I don't mind
but
a guy,
but now. Tim, the team will hide them for you.
Yeah, you're right. But that wasn't the way it was. Do you know that?
No.
I mean, you guys just walked into the locker room. It wasn't, you know, at 15, 20 minutes after practice, here came the squad. Here comes the media guys. And you know what? And the guys that after losses, you know, there'd be guys, and you know who they were. They were gone. And you're sitting around and like, you know, and what happens is, you know, God bless her, Karen Kornacki comes to talk to you and you start talking to Karen. And the next thing you know, there's 40 people around you. Yeah. And then you're like, well, why am I the only one talking to everybody here? Well, there's nobody else in the damn locker room. But where was everybody? You couldn't get anybody to talk to you after a win. But after a loss, you know, nobody wanted to be there. So to your point, I mean, guys, listen, if you're going to talk to the media, and I'll never forget, Howard Mudd told me, who was my offensive line coach, he saw me one time after a training camp practice talking to a media guy as I was walking off the field. And he grabbed me and he said, listen, if you're going to talk to the media and you're gonna be that kind of guy, then you better bring it in practice, you better bring it in a game, and you better have these guys respect before you do that. Because if you don't, they're going to look at you like you're a blank hole. You know what I'm talking about. So, well, you know what? And he was right. So I like to talk to the media. I had no problem talking to the media. Win, lose, or draw, that was my personality. That was fine. But I did learn my lesson that, you know, listen, if I'm going to talk to the media, I better back it up, and I better be available all the time, and I better be responsible for what I say. And I said a lot of stupid things, but you know what? After 11 years, you're always going to say some stupid things. But I owned it, and I was there, and I was talking to everybody, and that's fine because that was my role. But it's the guys that, like we're talking about, that hide or after a big win, they're ready to talk to everybody, and then, you know, if they're not getting their way, then they're pouting and they're not talking to anybody. Then that's what really aggravates a lot of the players.
Yeah. No doubt. And you know, to your point about, like, the talent of the defensive line,
mm-hmm.
Are the other guys talented, or is it really just two guys?
Well, I think Derek Nnadi is a nice – okay, like, when you talk about talent, I think he's a nice complimentary player. Complimentary player.
Serviceable piece.
Yeah, those are guys who play pretty hard against the deep that they can't get any pass rush to save their life.
So like, the question that I have, and the reason why I wouldn't have done the Frank Clark deal and I wouldn't have done the Chris Jones deal, and I may not have won the Super Bowl last year, so I want to be clear. Brett Veach did those deals. Well, he did the Chris Jones deal after the Super Bowl, and I was very clear I would not do that deal. But, like, four $10 million guys to me on a defensive line is better than two $20 million guys. And so I would have looked to spread that money around to have more guys, particularly because guys usually get hurt, right? And Chris Jones tends to miss one or two games a year. And when he's down, that's a big chunk of your resources that are sitting. But I think when you do make this decision that you're going to play it this way, those guys can't be average. And the answer as to why you're not getting to the quarterback with four can't be the guys on either side of me aren't good enough.
Well,
BS.
Yeah.
You're given the $20 million so that we can literally put anybody in those other two spots, and you should either both be getting double-teamed and make it easy for the other two guys to get garbage sacks, or you still got to blow up the double teams like Aaron Donald does, or you don't hand that kind of money out to these players.
Right. You better be a difference maker, a playmaker on the defensive side if you're getting that kind of money. But if, I mean, listen, there was times also where in those schemes, if you're going to try and bring pressure, Saran, which the Chiefs did, you know, you're going to have to do some other things that are going to put you in a bad position if you don't get to the quarterback. And we saw a couple times where Tino Passanio was out covering guys in the in space, and we saw with the last touchdown, he's trying to cover a tight end in the end zone, and that's a mismatch because they didn't get to the quarterback with the blitz. And once again, if you don't get home with that blitz, you're going to put yourself in bad position.
Well, and why are they blitzing?
Because they can't get pressure. So you got a guy, you know, Passanio is a serviceable guy. He's not a world beater.
Okafor. Jag that's not available.
He's never available. You got Wharton, who's just a great story from Missouri S&T.
Maybe he's going to be something, but he's Jag right now. He's a great story because nobody expected him to be in the NFL. But right now he's just an athletic guy trying to get by on athleticism. He's got to get some skills, and he may be a real comer, but not right now.
If you take Nnadi, Saunders, and Pinnell and you just switch their jerseys, you wouldn't know the difference. They're the same guy. So, and they're very average. They're pretty good run stoppers. They're good guys to put in there first and second down. But, you know, listen, guys like Frank Clark, Willie Gay has been kind of a disappointment. I think, you know, he misses a lot of plays. He gets in bad positions a lot of times. So there are some things that they have to get right. I thought their defensive backs, other than Daniel Sorensen, I know everybody loves Daniel Sorensen, but he misses more tackles. And I mean, I just don't get it. Yeah, he'll make some plays and get a pick at the end of the game. A lot of times it's kind of a garbage pick. And I'm not picking
on. Oh, come on. I'm
not picking on Daniel Sorensen. I'm really not. Because I think he's a great effort guy. I think he's great for that team. But he's got to be more productive in that position tackling. He's missed a bunch of tackles.
Can I say this? That do you really think in today's day and age where they don't tackle as much and the offensive talent is so talented, right? They're so skilled. They're so big. And DK Metcalf's and Julio Jones and even Tyreek Hill, who's not 240 pounds, is the most muscular looking little 5'9 guy I've ever seen in my life. Like his hamstring has a bicep. Okay. Like they're such sick athletes. Nothing is designed for a one-on-one tackle. No defense is built for one guy to have to make the tackle. And part of the reason why he's missing tackles is because he is alone on an island because they're bringing two other guys and there's no help on that underneath stuff.
You're probably right. But, you know,
I'm not saying he had missed tackles. You're right, too.
He's missing tackles. But you're right. I mean, he's put in a bad position, too. What we're doing is we're just trying to educate you a little bit of what the Chiefs need to get better at. We can sit here and talk about how great the Chiefs are and just gloss over some of these issues, but the issue is that you got to get to the quarterback. If you're going to blitz, you better get to him, and they're not. And when you blitz and you don't get there, you're putting other guys in bad positions, which you put, you know, Tyrann Mathieu in some bad position, Daniel Sorensen, you put those corners in a bad position. And then, you know, you look at the money that they spend on defensive linemen to get to the quarterback, and we're seeing people get to our quarterback with just four, because if you try to blitz Patrick Mahomes, it's just a bad thing. Well, guess what? It's a bad thing, too, if you try to blitz Derek Carr and you don't get there. If you try to blitz any quarterback that's worth a salt and you don't get there, he's going to have some success. So the issue is they have to find a way up front, and I think Coach Daly is a great defensive line coach. I like Spags. I think he's a really nice coach. I think he's done a really nice job with this defense. But Andy Reid needs to get this defensive line and get this defensive front playing at a little bit higher level, because right now they're just not playing up to the level that they can play at. And I've seen these guys play at a real high level. I've seen these guys be able to be a dominant team defensive line, but it just hasn't been there over the last couple weeks, especially last week.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Tim Grunhard, Football Insider, next here on the program.
The Program with Soren Petrov.
If you don't like me, just say it.
I don't like you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Next, I'll bet the answer will be yes. They'll build your project. 913-206-1974. Check them out online at allweatherdecks.net. And relax. You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petrov with you. Tim Grunhard, Football Insider, with us. He's brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Tim, the Bucks are next. What do you expect? You know, the Bucks licking their wounds after losing to the Rams. What do you think happens?
Man.
Oh, by the way, one other thing. This is just coming down. Yeah. Byron Pringle placed on the IR. By the Chiefs with the ankle injury. So hopefully Sammy Watkins is ready to go.
Yeah.
Practicing for a couple of weeks and then not being active last
week. Hey, what was the deal with Hardman?
I think just that he had no practice for a couple of weeks. And, you know, he didn't get cleared. I mean, and who knows? Maybe the virus has really taken it out of him. He wasn't a contact. No practice. He had COVID. So
if you think about it, they really had their number one receiver. They didn't have their second or third real receiver, and now they're down. The fifth receiver, maybe fourth receiver. So I mean, you got Travis Kelce, who's just unbelievable, and he's been playing just out of his mind. And yeah, Tyreek Hill, so I don't feel too bad for Patrick Mahomes, but it'd be nice to get Sammy Watkins back. You know what? I don't know about this Bucs game. I just can't get a feel for it because I just don't. Which Tom Brady's going to show up? Is it going to be the Tom Brady in that offense that just move the ball at will sometimes? You know, during this year, and they have so much talent now with their wide receivers and Evans and. And Brown they have now, and what's the other guy? I put him on my fantasy league all the time, and I can't remember his name. They have, you know, some good wide receivers.
Godwin.
Yeah, that's right. And he's been hurt. Now he's back.
Chris Godwin. I can't remember what his first name is.
Yeah,
anyway, I have him.
And then you got Gronk. You know, Gronk is Gronk. I mean, you know, they're trying to force the ball to him. He's making some plays. He's doing a little bit better than I thought he's even going to do. Defensively, they're suspect at times. I mean, they do bring it, and they have a pretty decent defensive line. So it'll be interesting to see whether they decide they're going to just bring four, or they're going to pressure Patrick Mahomes. I would guess that, knowing Bruce Arians, he's going to say, "Listen, we're going to flood the zone, and we're not going to give Patrick any big plays like everybody else, and have him throw the ball underneath." I did think that you got to give Andy Reid a little bit of credit for his game plan this week, a little RPOs, and then he kind of got away from those RPOs, but it was quick passes and giving the ball to his athletes in space, and they were able, you know, once again to your point, nobody tackles anymore, so. You know, you get the ball in the athlete's hands in space. You don't need those big throws down the field. They're going to take them away. I don't know. I have to take a look at this game. But if Tom Brady played like he did last week, the Chiefs should be just fine. If Tom Brady plays like Tom Brady, it'll be interesting.
I think the defense bounces back in a big way.
I do too. I think there's going to be a come to Jesus speech to this defense.
I hope so, too.
All right, man.
Timmy, happy Thanksgiving to you, buddy. Yeah, Take care of yourself.
You too.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are just the fifth set of teammates with 10 receptions on any Monday night football game. Name the other, any of the other four pairs.